Chapter 73. Oh, really, Master Copperfield, I mean Mr. Copperfield, apostrophe said Uriah, to see you waiting upon me is what I never could have expected. But, one way and another, so many things happened to me which I never could have expected. I am sure, in my humble station, that it seems to rain blessings on my head. You have heard something, I dare say, of a change in my expectations, Master Copperfield, I should say, Mr. Copperfield? Apostrophe apostrophe, as he sat on my sofa, with his long knees drawn up under his coffee cup, his hat and gloves upon the ground close to him, his spoon going softly round and round, his shadowless red eyes, which looked as if they had scorched their lashes off, turned towards me without looking at me, the disagreeable dints I have formerly described in his nostrils coming and going with his breath, and a snaky undulation pervading his frame from his chin to his boots, I decided in my own mind that I disliked him intensely. It made me very uncomfortable to have him for a guest, for I was young then, and unused to disguise what I so strongly felt. You have heard something, I dare say, of a change in my expectations, Master Copperfield, I should say, Mr. Copperfield? Apostrophe apostrophe observed Uriah. Yes, apostrophe said I, something. Apostrophe, ah. I thought Miss Agnes would know of it. Apostrophe he quietly returned. I'm glad to find Miss Agnes knows of it. Oh, thank you, Mr. Copperfield. Apostrophe apostrophe, I could have thrown my bootjack at him, it lay ready on the rug, for having entrapped me into the disclosure of anything concerning Agnes, however immaterial. But I only drank my coffee. What a profit you have shown yourself, Mr. Copperfield. Apostrophe apostrophe pursued Uriah. Dear me, what a prophet you have proved yourself to be. Don't you remember saying to me once, that perhaps I should be a partner in Mr. Wickfield's business, and perhaps it might be Wickfield and Heap? You may not recollect it, but when a person is humble, Master Copperfield, a person treasures such things up. Apostrophe apostrophe, I recollect talking about it, apostrophe said I, though I certainly did not think it very likely then. Apostrophe oh, who would have thought it likely, Mr. Copperfield? Apostrophe returned Uriah, enthusiastically. I am sure I didn't myself. I recollect saying with my own lips, that I was much too humble. So I considered myself really and truly. Apostrophe, he sat, with that carved grin on his face, looking at the fire, as I looked at him. But the humblest persons, Master Copperfield, apostrophe he presently resumed, may be the instruments of good. I am glad to think I have been the instrument of good to Mr. Wickfield, and that I may be more so. Oh, what a worthy man he is, Mr. Copperfield, but how imprudent he has been. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am sorry to hear it, apostrophe said one. I could not help adding, rather pointedly, on all accounts. Apostrophe, decidedly so, Mr. Copperfield, apostrophe replied Uriah. On all accounts. Miss Agnes is above all. You don't remember your own eloquent expressions, Master Copperfield. But I remember how you said one day, that everybody must admire her, and how I thanked you for it. You have forgot that, I have no doubt, Master Copperfield? Apostrophe apostrophe, no, apostrophe said I, dryly. Oh how glad I am you have not. Apostrophe apostrophe exclaimed Uriah. To think that you should be the first, to kindle the sparks of ambition in my humble breast, and that you've not forgot it. Oh, would you excuse me asking for a cup more coffee? Apostrophe apostrophe, something in the emphasis he laid upon the kindling of those sparks, and something in the glance he directed at me as he said it, had made me start, as if I had seen him illuminated by a blaze of light. Recalled by his request, preferred in quite another tone of voice, I did the honors of the shaving pot, but I did them with an unsteadiness of hand, a sudden sense of being no match for him, and a perplexed suspicious anxiety, as to what he might be going to say next, which I felt, could not escape his observation. He said nothing at all. He stirred his coffee round and round. He sipped it. He felt his chin softly with his grisly hand. He looked at the fire. He looked about the room. He gasped rather than smiled at me. He writhed and undulated about. In his deferential servility, he stirred and sipped again, but he left the renewal of the conversation to me. "So, Mr. Wickfield," apostrophe said I, "at last, who is worth 500 of you or me? For my life, I think, I could not have helped dividing that part of the sentence with an awkward jerk. Has been imprudent, has he, Mr. Heap?" "Oh, very imprudent indeed, Master Copperfield," returned Uriah, sighing modestly. "Oh, very much so. But I wish you'd call me Uriah, if you please. It's like old times." "Well, Uriah," said I, bolting it out with some difficulty. "Thank you," he returned, with fervor. "Thank you, Master Copperfield. It's like the blowing of old breezes, or the ringing of old bells, to hear you say Uriah. I beg your pardon. Was I making any observation? About Mr. Wickfield, I suggested." "Oh, yes, truly," said Uriah. "Ah, great imprudence, Master Copperfield. It's a topic that I wouldn't touch upon to any soul but you. Even to you, I can only touch upon it, and no more. If anyone else had been in my place during the last few years, by this time he would have had Mr. Wickfield. Oh, what a worthy man he is, Master Copperfield, too. Under his thumb. Under his thumb," said Uriah, very slowly, as he stretched out his cruel-looking hand above my table, and pressed his own thumb upon it, until it shook, and shook the room. "If I had been obliged to look at him with him's play foot on Mr. Wickfield's head, I think I could scarcely have hated him more. Oh, dear, yes, Master Copperfield," he proceeded, in a soft voice, most remarkably contrasting with the action of his thumb, which did not diminish its hard pressure in the least degree, "there's no doubt of it. There would have been loss, disgrace, I don't know what at all. Mr. Wickfield knows it. I am the humble instrument of humbly serving him, and he puts me on an eminence I hardly could have hoped to reach. How thankful should I be?" With his face turned towards me, as he finished, but without looking at me, he took his crooked thumb off the spot where he had planted it, and slowly and thoughtfully scraped his lank jaw with it, as if he were shaving himself. I recollect well how indignantly my heart beat, as I saw his crafty face, with the appropriately red light of the fire upon it, preparing for something else. "Master Copperfield," he began, "but am I keeping you up?" "You are not keeping me up. I generally go to bed late." "Thank you, Master Copperfield. I have risen from my humble station since first you used to address me, it is true, but I am humble still. I hope I never shall be otherwise than humble. You will not think the worse of my humbleness, if I make a little confidence to you, Master Copperfield? Will you?" "Oh no, said I, with an effort. "Thank you." He took out his pocket handkerchief, and began wiping the palms of his hands. "Miss Agnes, Master Copperfield, Uriah? Oh, how pleasant to be called Uriah, spontaneously. He cried, and gave himself a jerk, like a convulsive fish. "You thought her looking very beautiful tonight, Master Copperfield?" I thought her looking as she always does. Superior, in all respects, to everyone around her, I returned. "Oh, thank you. It's so true," he cried. "Oh, thank you very much for that." "Not at all," I said, loftily. "There is no reason why you should thank me." apostrophe, why that, Master Copperfield, apostrophe said Uriah, is, in fact, the confidence that I am going to take the liberty of reposing. Humble as I am, apostrophe he wiped his hands harder, and looked at them, and at the fire by turns, humble as my mother is, and lowly as our poor, but honest roof has ever been, the image of Miss Agnes.
I don't mind trusting you with my secret, Master Copperfield, for I have always overflowed towards you since the first moment I had the pleasure of beholding you in a pony chaise,
has been in my breast for years. Oh, Master Copperfield, with what a pure affection do I love the ground my Agnes walks on. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I believe I had a delirious idea of seizing the red-hot poker out of the fire, and running him through with it. It went from me with a shock, like a ball fired from a rifle. But the image of Agnes, outraged by so much as a thought of this red-headed animal's, remained in my mind, when I looked at him, sitting all awry, as if his mean soul griped his body, and made me giddy. He seemed to swell and grow before my eyes, the room seemed full of the echoes of his voice, and the strange feeling to which, perhaps, no one is quite a stranger, that all this had occurred before, at some indefinite time, and that I knew what he was going to say next, took possession of me. A timely observation of the sense of power that there was in his face did more to bring back to my remembrance the entreaty of Agnes, in its full force, than any effort I could have made. I asked him, with a better appearance of composure than I could have thought possible a minute before, whether he had made his feelings known to Agnes. Oh no, Master Copperfield! Apostrophe, apostrophe, he returned. Oh dear, no! Not to anyone but you. You see, I am only just emerging from my lowly station. I rest a good deal of hope on her observing how useful I am to her father,
for I trust to be very useful to him indeed, Master Copperfield,
and how I smooth the way for him, and keep him straight. She's so much attached to her father, Master Copperfield.
Oh, what a lovely thing it is in a daughter.
Comma that I think she may come, on his account, to be kind to me. Apostrophe, I fathomed the depth of the rascal's whole scheme, and understood why he laid it bare. If you'll have the goodness to keep my secret, Master Copperfield, apostrophe he pursued, and not, in general, to go against me, I shall take it as a particular favor. You wouldn't wish to make unpleasantness. I know what a friendly heart you've got. But having only known me on my humble footing,
on my humblest I should say, for I am very humble still,
you might, unbeckoning, go against me rather, with my Agnes. I call her mine, you see, Master Copperfield. There's a song that says, I'd crowns resign, to call her mine. I hope to do it, one of these days. Apostrophe, dear Agnes. So much too loving, and too good for anyone, that I could think of, was it possible, that she was reserved to be the wife of such a wretch as this? There's no hurry at present, you know, Master Copperfield, apostrophe Uriah proceeded, in his slimy way, as I sat gazing at him, with this thought in my mind. My Agnes is very young still, and mother and me will have to work our way upwards, and make a good many new arrangements, before it would be quite convenient. So I shall have time gradually, to make her familiar with my hopes, as opportunities offer. Oh, I'm so much obliged to you for this confidence. Oh, it's such a relief, you can't think, to know that you understand our situation, and are certain,
as you wouldn't wish to make unpleasantness in the family,
not to go against me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he took the hand which I dared not withhold, and having given it a damp squeeze, referred to his pale-faced watch. Dear me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said, it's past one. The moments slip away so, in the confidence of old times, Master Copperfield, that it's almost half past one. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I answered, that I had thought it was later. Not that I had really thought so, but because my conversational powers were effectually scattered. Dear me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said, considering.
Yes, that I am stopping at a sort of a private hotel and boarding house, Master Copperfield, near the New River and will have gone to bed these 2 hours. Apostrophe, I am sorry, apostrophe I returned, that there is only one bed here, and that I apostrophe, oh, don't think of mentioning beds, Master Copperfield. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he rejoined ecstatically, drawing up one leg. But would you have any objections to my laying down before the fire? Apostrophe, apostrophe, if it comes to that, apostrophe, I said, pray take my bed, and I'll lie down before the fire. Apostrophe, his repudiation of this offer was almost shrill enough, in the excess of its surprise and humility, to have penetrated to the ears of Mrs. Krupp, then sleeping, I suppose, in a distant chamber, situated at about the level of low water mark, soothed in her slumbers by the ticking of an incorrigible clock, to which she always referred me when we had any little difference on the score of punctuality, and which was never less than 3/4 of an hour too slow, and had always been put right in the morning by the best authorities. As no arguments I could urge, in my bewildered condition, had the least effect upon his modesty in inducing him to accept my bedroom, I was obliged to make the best arrangements I could for his repose before the fire. The mattress of the sofa, which was a great deal too short for his lank figure, the sofa pillows, a blanket, the table cover, a clean breakfast cloth, and a great coat, made him a bed and covering, for which he was more than thankful. Having lent him a nightcap, which he put on at once, and in which he made such an awful figure that I have never worn one since, I left him to his rest. I never shall forget that night. I never shall forget how I turned and tumbled, how I wearied myself with thinking about Agnes and this creature, how I considered what could I do, and what ought I to do, how I could come to no other conclusion than that the best course for her peace was to do nothing, and to keep to myself what I had heard. If I went to sleep for a few moments, the image of Agnes with her tender eyes, and of her father looking fondly on her, as I had so often seen him look, arose before me with appealing faces, and filled me with vague terrors. When I awoke, the recollection that Uriah was lying in the next room, sat heavy on me like a waking nightmare, and oppressed me with a leaden dread, as if I had had some meaner quality of devil for a lodger. The poker got into my dozing thoughts besides, and wouldn't come out. I thought, between sleeping and waking, that it was still red hot, and I had snatched it out of the fire, and run him through the body. I was so haunted at last by the idea, though I knew there was nothing in it, that I stole into the next room to look at him. There I saw him, lying on his back, with his legs extending to I don't know where, gurglings taking place in his throat, stoppages in his nose, and his mouth open like a post office. He was so much worse in reality than in my distempered fancy, that afterwards I was attracted to him in very repulsion, and could not help wandering in, and out every half hour or so, and taking another look. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.